It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Football is back. We made it. It's been a long, hot summer. It's been a long-ass spring. It was very cold during the winter in which former Giant legends became dead to us. But football season is back.
Not to my fantasy football team.
You sellout. We have a lot to do on this very, very busy show. First of all, there are rumors going around concerning one of our guys that we love, the great John Sterling. And so sometimes when rumors are out there, the best way to tackle those rumors is to go right to the horse. So at 3 o'clock today, we will talk to the great John Sterling. He will join us at 3 o'clock, and he will address said rumors that may be floating out there. Mm. If you don't know the rumors, don't worry. He's going to join us at 3 o'clock, right, and we'll address everything.
Did you mean source, right to the source, or from the horse's mouth?
I meant both.
Oh, okay.
I combined horse and source. And so the great John Sterling will join us in an hour. I am also aware that our radio program has featured many, many, many creepy promos about something happening today at 4:30 on Evan and Tiki on September 5th. So we look forward to that. That's only 2.5 hours away. So that is also very, very exciting. And there's plenty of baseball to mix in as well. But I remember sitting here a year ago, right before the NFL season started on Thursday night, Christmas Eve for us as football fans, without a dog in the fight, really, but nevertheless, we're all going to watch football. It's the one thing that's so universal in this town. We may not all sit there and watch a Met game or a Yankee game, but we all watch football. And I remember having a discussion with you guys about the Chiefs and how, for whatever reason, despite they were emerging as a dynasty, they weren't hated yet.
Yeah.
They weren't there yet. And a lot has changed in a year. In one year, not only did the Kansas City Chiefs do it again, winning back-to-back Super Bowls, which is not an easy thing to do. Number two, Patrick Mahomes sort of came across like a bitter baby during, I forget, who were they playing in that game in which you had the controversial offsides call that burned Kadarius Toney on what could have been a game-winning touchdown?
Oh, yeah, no, illegal, what was, yeah, that was a movement. Like,
yeah.
He was moving.
Yeah, it was a...
Yeah, it was a Bills game, I think.
That's what it was. And Mahomes came across like such a whiny little, you know, biatch, if you will. And that changed. And then the big thing that changed about Kansas City, besides the winning, besides Mahomes crying, is Taylor Swift came into our life. And we were all inundated with Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all happened in the last year.
Yes.
And as I sit here today, and we all sit here getting ready for football, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Baltimore Ravens, a game you could hear right here on WFAN with the New York Jets emerging as a contender in the AFC. I wonder the same thing I wondered a year ago. Are we ready to hate the Kansas City Chiefs?
I don't think so. And the reason I don't think so is it's long and convoluted. But it comes back to us. It comes back to New York. And when you think about all the teams that were nationally hated, the Cowboys might be the exception because they were so arrogant in the 90s and talking about having Cowboys Stadium with the roof open so God could watch his favorite team play.
Yuck.
It was like, come on, you're offending everybody. You better win, and they haven't since then. But other than the Cowboys, all the teams that are hated, whether it was the Bulls, whether it was the Patriots, whether it was even the Cowboys, whether it was the Miami Heat, it seems to have some sort of rivalry, you know, relationship with a New York team. And if it doesn't have that, it doesn't get the New York / national hate. These championship
so
games.
We need to lose to Kansas City in a painful way?
Well, you need to become the rival. That is, the Jets need to become the rival to the Kansas City Chiefs for them to be hated. Because right now they feel lovable, just like the Golden State Warriors felt and still feel lovable.
Not when they hated Durant, though. I don't think people turned on the Warriors when they made that addition.
I think people turned on Kevin Durant.
Right.
I don't think anybody turned on the Warriors because they were... How could you hate Clay? How could you hate Steve Kerr? How could you hate Steph Curry? Maybe you loathe the way that Draymond Green approached the game, but if you were his teammate, you kind of respected the hell out of
it. Yeah, no, it's an interesting point that when you look at all those dynastic teams, the ones that we really hated did something to us.
Yes.
And as of right now, the Kansas City Chiefs haven't done anything to us. Now, the Jets played Kansas City last year, as you recall, but obviously it was under very different circumstances.
Should have beat them.
Well, they should have, but I wasn't angry at Pat Mahomes after the game.
Yeah.
I wasn't angry at Travis Kelce or Taylor Swift after the game. I was angry at the officials.
All right, the back judge who calls pass interference.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically where the anger came from. You know where I'm at with Kansas City? And I'll give you a wrestling analogy on this, because a year ago when we had this conversation, I told you I kind of like them. Like, it wasn't that I dislike them,
because
I wasn't there. I liked them a year ago.
A new championship later, do you still like them?
So they've become what I like to call tweeners. They're in the middle. Mm. There are moments in which I can't stand them. Last year, when Pat Mahomes was whining and bitching about the officials, it turned me off. It was like, are you freaking kidding me? You've been gifted so many calls in your career, and now you're whining about it? The Taylor Swift stuff, I know it annoys a lot of football fans. It doesn't necessarily make me hate the Kansas City Chiefs. So I don't love them, and I don't hate them for this reason. Look, if the Jets win a Super Bowl, I don't care who they beat. But in an ideal world, especially when you sit before a season starts, you kind of have that script in your head, like the perfect script. And in that perfect script is being the team that the Ravens have proven they're not so far. That the Buffalo Bills have proven they're not so far.
Right.
That everyone else in the AFC West has proven they're not so far. So, like, when I sit down tonight and I'm watching the Kansas City Chiefs, I don't love them. I certainly don't like them as much as I may have a year ago. But I still want them to succeed. Because if anybody's going to knock them out,
I want
it to be my team.
You're right. You want the Jets to be the team that dethrones the champions.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
I mean, in some ways, wasn't it? The Bengals kind of did it.
They kind of did it. But you know what? I look at the Bengals this way. It's like when the Jets beat the Patriots in the postseason, right? Remember this? It was one of my great moments as a sports fan. I think a lot of us as Jet fans, it's maybe a top five moment, especially if you're younger and you don't remember the Super Bowl. Maybe it's a top, top moment. When they went to Foxborough and beat the Patriots that year after the 2010 season, it felt like the holy grail of knocking them off.
Yes.
But then they lost the next week.
I know. So it didn't have the ultimate fulfillment.
No, it didn't have that lasting impact. So I think when you get that knockout punch on this all-time great team, and the Bengals did it maybe before they were the all-time great team, they didn't seal the deal.
No, they didn't. And so I think about like these teams that we hate. We hate the Patriots because they were so good for so long, and it felt every year, I mean, until last year, the Jets couldn't beat them.
Right.
The Giants did, but I think the Jet loathing from a New York standpoint was stronger than the Giants beating them.
Well, you know what also I think affected that? So even though the Giants had success against the Patriots, and I can speak from experience from last night, believe it or not, I think the reason that Giant fans still dislike...
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Like the Patriots, despite having success over them, is that they're Boston.
Yeah.
And last night, I think, is a great example of this.
Good point.
I'm sitting at Citi Field. the Mets are sweeping the Boston Red Sox after Kenley Jansen couldn't throw a strike in the bottom of the eighth inning, and it's a party at Citi Field.
Him, not just him.
Not just him. Old Dick Mountain, too, had trouble throwing strikes. And I'm looking around at sad Red Sox fans, and I'm hearing Met fans chant Boston sucks. And I'm thinking to myself, boy, I don't hate the Red Sox, but I love this. Like, beating Boston is special.
Yeah.
Because I don't like the Boston Celtics. I don't like the New England Patriots. I don't like the Boston Bruins. And so, tell me if I'm wrong. Obviously, you guys are Giants. Even if the Patriots weren't your blood rival and you had success against them.
That's a good point.
They're Boston.
Because all of the teams are rivals in some capacity.
Yes.
Every single team. And the fans are probably crossover.
The Red Sox to the Mets is what the Patriots is to the Giants.
We don't like those people. The fans.
Right. That's right.
No, absolutely.
And they're all the same fan. Whereas you can't really say that about New York because you could say, oh, I hate the New York Giant fan. Okay, I'm not a Giant fan. I'm a Jet fan.
Right.
Right? It's like you can't say that about the entire town New York collectively. You can say that about the entire town of Boston.
I hate the Phillies because those people root for the Eagles.
Right.
It's all the same.
It's the same.
That's the thing that keeps maybe the hatred away from the Kansas City Chiefs.
I think you're right.
The fact that we don't hate Kansas City. Yeah, and it's funny. Like, the Mets played a World Series against the Royals. The Yankees and Royals were rivals many years ago. And yet, we don't hate Kansas City.
No.
Nobody cares about Kansas City.
No. And look, I don't. They're not hateable, also. Like, Pat Mahomes just seems like such a good dude.
Even when he was whining about the officials last year?
Even, I mean, that notwithstanding, but it's a moment. Everybody can be whiny and bitchy for a minute. It's okay. But he's not regularly whiny and bitchy. He's regularly, watch, I'm going to throw this behind the back pass and I'm going to complete it. Ha ha. Like, he's just like one of those guys. He's just so good. You can't help but appreciate them, and their head coach is like your grandfather.
That's it. It's more than Mahomes. They have the fat, lovable, funny guy coaching the team.
Yes.
Find me an American that hates Andy Reid, right. And I'll find you a liar.
And if you think he's not funny, you see the commercial where he's like, give me those nuggies.
Right.
You're just like,
you watch Andy Reid coach, and you're like, I could coach football.
I know.
Well, in fairness, when Andy Reid was the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, you found him lovable?
No.
I stumped you guys.
Hold
on that one.
No, until I went to the Pro Bowl and he was the coach.
Well, you had it.
I had a personal experience with him.
Fair.
And I was like, because I hated him until that point.
Sure.
And then I was like, dude, I love this guy. He is awesome.
I can see that, but you, Sean?
No, but you got to remember, that is young in Andy Reid's career. I've watched him coach for 20 years now. I would say if Andy Reid was coaching the Eagles today, I would still hate the Eagles. I would not hate Andy Reid.
Right. And the same personality.
Yes.
Like this personality,
I don't hate Mike McCarthy. Right,
this personality did not come through when he was the Eagles coach.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, maybe it's because they weren't champions and dominant in the AFC, or in the NFC. Now they're in the AFC, but you feel like you know Andy Reid now.
Right.
I felt like you didn't know him.
So
I mean, honestly, I played against him every year. I felt like I didn't know him until he was the coach of the team in the
Pro
Bowl.
So it's kind of like a warrior factor in your mind that Mahomes and Reid, the two faces of this dynastic football team, are just likable guys.
Very much so.
And Bill Belichick and Tom Brady were the opposite. Mm. I mean, they weren't likable
anyway. They just didn't say anything. Bill Belichick gave you nothing.
Right.
Now we know that he's kind of has a little like funny bone in him.
Yeah.
Maybe a little one. Tom never said anything.
Yeah.
Nobody in New England ever said anything. And so it's just, we're dominant and we're going to be stoic faced and in your face.
Yeah.
I
think you hit on the thing that we need to really hate the Kansas City Chiefs. And that is a direct kind of battle with them.
Right.
Like, one of the beautiful things about football, and I say this about that sport than any other sport in this town, is as we talk into a microphone, yeah, the majority of people are Giant and Jet fans, but there's a lot of people in our audience, New Yorkers, New Jerseyers, who are Steeler fans, who are Bill fans, who are Cowboy fans, who are Viking fans. Like, it is funny how the NFL is like that. And I really don't think any other sport's like that, where you can root for all of these teams. If you've been directly impacted by Patrick Mahomes, so clearly, if you are a Buffalo Bill fan listening to our show right now, how do you not hate Patrick Mahomes?
And that's not even, they're not even in a division.
Right.
But they've almost, side of the country, basically.
They've almost become a division team because you play them all the time.
Yeah, and Baltimore is probably the same way.
I think he's getting there in Baltimore. I think the Raven fan has to hate Patrick Mahomes. So I think as a Jet fan, what we need, and I thought we were going to get it last year, we didn't, unfortunately, is directly looking into the belly of the beast and losing to them or beating them or going through a blood war with them. Because last year was so different. When they played the Kansas City Chiefs on that Sunday night, I remember how it felt.
Uh-huh.
We were the little engine that could. Aaron Rodgers was out. We have Zach Wilson at quarterback. And we needed to do all these perfect things to hang in with them. And the Chiefs had the big lead. The Jets fought back. Zach was playing incredible.
Yep.
And then little tiny things cost the Jets. Zach Wilson's fumble, obviously. The terrible officiating. And I was mad, but I didn't walk away from that with my blood boiling the way it always did when the Jets would lose to the New England Patriots. Or even when the Jets would lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Or when the Jets would lose to the Miami Dolphins. Like, I walked away from it, like, more angry at my own. Angry at Zach Wilson for putting the ball on the ground. Mm. Angry at the officials. And so, I guess there just needs to be that war.
Yeah.
Between the Jets and the Chiefs for me to get to that dark side that many other football fans are starting to get to.
I think you just hit on something that came to me, Evan. We have discussed ad nauseum for the last 2 months what constitutes a failure of a Jets season. Super Bowl, playoffs. If you enter this day next year, that opening Thursday night, and you as a Jet fan don't hate Patrick Mahomes, was this year a failure?
Yeah. Yes. The only way it wouldn't be, and I am not complaining about this, and I would love to write this script. So the Jets make the playoffs. Our friends up in Buffalo make the playoffs, mm-hmm. right? And the Buffalo Bills in the AFC divisional round go to Kansas City and exercise their demons. They do it. They finally beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Josh Allen outduels Patrick Mahomes. Now they got to go play the AFC Championship game against the Jets. The Jets just knocked off the Ravens in the AFC divisional round. And the Bills fall victim to what the Jets fell victim to back 14 years ago. They already won their Super Bowl. And the Jets beat Buffalo. And we never had to have a battle with Pat Mahomes. And the Jets are in the Super Bowl.
And you still don't hate him.
Yeah, if that's the case, Sean, then I probably still wouldn't hate him.
Fair point. But my guess is, as long as Sean McDermott's coaching the Bills, some way or another, for the Jets to get where you want to go, Patrick Mahomes is blinking in the eye.
No, and I think that's a great point. And as I sit there tonight, and we all watch football a little bit differently, some of us need to bet on it. Some of us have fantasy implications. Some, like Tiki, can actually sit there and just watch football.
Yes.
And others are fans at heart. Like Sean and I talked about this a lot last year as fans. Every game that didn't involve the Jets and Giants, we would have a rooting interest in based on how it helps our team.
You can't help but think about it.
You can't help but. That's
and
how
if,
I
and
view
And if there
it.
Is no rooting interest, it's what's the color, right? What's the color of the uniform?
No. There's always a rooting interest.
It can't be.
Well, I think it
can't be.
In the case of the Giant fan
what
tonight.
The Arizona Cardinals versus, I don't know, the Seattle Seahawks.
It's easy. You factor in who you think you're going to be in a wild card race against.
Yeah.
I think that one's easy. Like, tonight for the Giant fan, there really isn't any rooting interest when it involves you because it's two AFC teams. But as a Jet fan, and trust me, I've already given this a lot of thought. Like, what am I supposed to root for? Am I breaking down the number one seed thinking, boy, I need Kansas City to lose a game? Am I thinking, the Ravens may battle for a wild card spot. Screw it. Let's go Chiefs. Like, I've given that thought because that's how sometimes as a sports fan, that's how I always think as a sports fan. And the more I thought about it, the more I said, no, I'm going for the jugular. I want to be the number one seed.
Mm.
I want the AFC Championship game at MetLife Stadium. I mean, damn it, I'm a season ticket holder. Wouldn't it be perfect? The year I become a season ticket holder. They're not only hosting playoff games, they're hosting a championship game. And so that brought me to the conclusion I'm better off rooting for the Ravens. That I'm better off thinking, hey, let's bring the Chiefs down.
Yes.
Let's go Ravens.
Yeah,
so that's the beginning of my dislike for Kansas City.
The only thing that's that we know is that it doesn't matter what the Kansas City Chiefs do in the regular season. You know at some point they're going to get themselves right. And get right back to where they've always been.
No, I agree. And I think that's why when I sit there tonight, we all sit there tonight, if you happen to be a diehard Jet fan and you happen to think, wow, this season may actually go well and won't be an unmitigated disaster, you will be watching a football game tonight knowing if we want to get to a place that most of us have never seen, and that is a Super Bowl, unless you're over the age of 60, you haven't seen it. If you want to get to that place, look into the eyes of Patrick Mahomes, because that's the guy you got to get past. There's going to be a lot of battles before that, a lot of teams they're going to have to get through before that, but the final boss for the New York Jets is going to, just like it is for everybody, it's not like I'm special, Buffalo Bill fans. I know there are Bill fans out there. You know who your final boss is.
Uh-huh.
Baltimore Raven fans. Lamar Jackson certainly knows who his final boss is. So all of us in the AFC have that in common. Our final boss is playing football tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And so while we sit there and watch and play fantasy and make a couple of bets, we're also going to be doing some scouting.
Yeah, but the only thing, about the hate conversation is that the only way you're going to hate him is if he beats you.
Yeah.
And you don't want that to happen. Well, you beat them. If you beat them, you're going to say, hey, great job.
That's right. That's true.
You're the ones that got your number.
Well, to everybody out there, have you crossed over yet? Do you hate the Kansas City Chiefs? We'll get to some of your calls coming up, 888-808-1019. They have the hallmarks of a team you would hate. They're trying to do something that's never been done in the Super Bowl era. They're going into this season trying to three-peat. It hasn't happened. And we'll go through how difficult that process is and who's come the closest. But that's what the Kansas City Chiefs are trying to do. So have we all crossed over to hating the team we're going to all watch tonight at about 8:30 tonight? Toll-free number is 888-808-1019. The great John Sterling will join us coming up at 3 o'clock to, I guess, spread some light on some rumors that have been going around. Plus, something crazy is happening at 4:30. I kind of have an idea, like I've been guessing what I think it's going to be. But I guess we won't really know until 4:30 today. We have made it. Football season begins tonight. And I want to thank Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, who basically dictated to the New York Mets and the New York Yankees, don't play baseball when the football season starts. He didn't actually do that because there actually are baseball games today. There are a few tonight. The Rockies are playing the Braves. Trust me, I'll keep an eye on that. Tigers, Padres as well. But from a local standpoint, it is very nice, in the heat of a pennant race, both teams are in pennant races, that we get a break from baseball on the night football starts. Because I had a friend text me this last night, and you may be surprised by my response, T, because you know I love baseball, and I do. And my friend said, I'm not as excited for the football season because of the pennant races.
Really?
And I said to him, here's where you're right and you're wrong.
Huh.
I'm as excited for the start of the football season. Like, I am as pumped up to go home tonight, eat some quesadillas, and watch football. But I'm not as desperate for it to take my attention away from the misery that is baseball.
Yeah, you don't need it.
I don't need it.
You don't need it.
But I love it.
It's just a great luxury to have for your sports viewing entertainment right now.
Yes. Yes.
And it should be, well, we'll see what happens on Monday night, but whatever. The season has high expectations for the Jets.
Yes.
So it should be somewhat fulfilling to add on to what you're seeing from your Mets.
Well, and also, I've learned in life that I can chew gum and walk at the same time. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget, I used to have this discussion with Benengo for many years where I get into the basketball season when it starts. And Joe would always say, you know what, bro? Wake me up in January. I got football. I got to deal with the football. And I always say to Joe, but there's no football game on a Tuesday night.
True, but...
So when the Knicks are playing a big game on a Tuesday night...
Yeah, but are they big in the early part of the season? And that's the challenge with basketball, is that if you are heavily invested in your football team, you can afford to not pay attention to your basketball
team.
You
could absolutely afford to. My only point was, but you can do both. Obviously, Sunday I'm watching, but I can do both. So to me, I'm really excited for football tonight. And I'm also really excited that tomorrow night the Mets are playing the Cincinnati Reds. Like, two things can happen at the same time.
What are you watching, the Reds or the Packers and the Eagles?
That is going to be a multiple TV evening.
I think you're right.
Yeah, that for me at least, because I've got the Peacock, because I'm a big pro wrestling fan, and Peacock's got some great programming. And I'm excited to watch the Eagles against the Packers, with you guys rooting against the Eagles, believe it or not. Like, I'm all in on just hating Philadelphia.
Jordan Love.
So, I got that on. I'll have the Mets on. I'll have the Yankees on. And I'll have the Braves
on. Wow, you have a busy Friday.
That's a busy Friday. And I don't have to worry about the Yankees because the Yankees play a day game tomorrow. And I do want to give everybody a programming note about that. And I want to thank the New York Yankees. Mm-hmm. So, the Yankees are playing tomorrow at 2:20. You'll hear the game on AM. We'll also be on FM. So we'll be on the air doing our regular show tomorrow.
Yes.
So you get the best of both worlds. If you want to listen to the Yankee game, hell yeah, do it, man. We'll be checking in on it all day long. Yankee game on, as well as us on the first Football Friday of the year. So that's going to be very cool.
Live from Giant Stadium.
Live from MetLife Stadium.
Giant Stadium.
I still call it Giant Stadium because it's a Giants game.
Okay.
And it's a Giants 100.
We're live
to the Giants 100.
I wasn't disrespecting it. I was calling it by the sponsor's name.
Giants Stadium.
Okay. I think you guys are disrespecting MetLife.
Yes, the Giants are sponsoring/hosting us. It's Giants Stadium.
Okay.
For all four of the Aaron Rodgers plays last year, you called the MetLife Stadium. We're calling it Giants
Stadium. We will be at MetLife Stadium tomorrow. There's a wonderful fan fest that's occurring, and we'll be a part of the action. So we definitely look forward to that. Tonight, the Chiefs take on the Ravens. Have we moved to the dark side in hating the dynastic Kansas City Chiefs? Are we there yet? Or do we still kind of like them and find them cute and adorable? 888-808-1019. Let's kick it off were with, let's kick it off with Alan and Patchogue. What's up, Alan?
Hey, how's it going? Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure, man. What's up?
So, as a Charger fan, I can I could say I do not hate the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow.
I fear them. I fear them. Yeah. It's fear.
Yeah, because even when they're flawed, they win. Even when they're not perfect, they find a way to win.
100%. And it's actually scarily similar to the Jets situation in the early 2000s dealing with the Patriots.
Yeah.
I know we're in New York. I know how New Yorkers talk. I know they said they hated the Patriots. They hate Tom Brady, blah, blah, blah. They didn't. They feared him. They feared the Patriots. Same with the Giants, with the Eagles, with Andy Reid, with, you know, also with Dallas. You know, you hate the you. Think you hate the team that has your number, but you fear that.
Well, okay, a couple of things I want to make clear. I don't think Giant fans feared the Andy Reid Philadelphia Eagles.
Nah, no. Can I? No.
I'm sorry.
I mean, we would beat them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, back in the day, or, you know, when I was playing, it was back, like, we'd win three in a row, they'd win three in
right.
a row. It was up and down, back and forth.
You didn't fear them.
No, not at all. I mean, I kind of feared Jeremiah Trotter a little bit. Maybe Brian Dawkins every now and then, but... Right. We knew we could beat them. And so it was different. It's not like the last 8 years or 10 years where the Giants have, you know, what have they lost? Like 10 in a row?
It's incredible.
I forget what the number is, but they've lost a lot.
They never beat the Philadelphia Eagles. It's absolutely remarkable. But I do think that's very different than the era he was talking about. Look, as a Jet fan, I hated and feared the New England Patriots. Two things can be true at the same time. You can hate a team and you can fear a team, but you can also know this is an all-time great team, and my God, if we're ever able to beat them, it'll be the sweetest thing in the world.
Of course.
And that's what's so kind of painful, thinking about the Jets beating the Patriots when they did in 2010. They finally did it. They conquered the devil, and then a week later, they lost anyway in the AFC Championship game. Let's go to Colin Hawthorne. What's up, Colin?
Hey, Evan. Hey, Tiki. Happy football.
No doubt.
Hey, you know, listen, as a Jets fan, you know, I kind of liked Tom Brady in the beginning, and I was kind of rooting for them to go undefeated and beat the Giants and make history. But once the Giants beat the Patriots, you know, I started not to like Tom Brady and the Patriots. That's the moment, and I started to like Eli Manning. So, you know, at a certain point, you know, that's when because the Patriots never did anything to the Jets. Until after that. So that's when I started hating Tom Brady. And also, on the Jets, the year after, just the very towards Achilles, the Jets started 6-1.
Yeah.
But it did not end.
They also had a head coach that was out the door. I mean, think about the circumstances of that 2000 team. They ended up finishing 9-7, so you think about it in some kind of positive light, but they were 6-1. They were 9-4. They lost their last three games, and Al Groh didn't want to be there. That was a disastrous season, if you ask me. Well, yes, I'd love to start 6-1, but one thing about the Jets over their history, and this is sort of recent history, just because you start well doesn't mean you end well. Brett Favre will tell you a story about that. Brett Favre looked like he was going to be a Jet legend despite not wanting to be here. He was off to a great start as a Jet. They were 8-3, and then it all came crumbling down, which is why through the good and the bad of the early part of this season, you have to kind of take a deep breath. Aaron Rodgers said something earlier today that I thought was very, very fitting. And it proves that Aaron Rodgers gets it. Do you have this audio available of Aaron Rodgers from earlier today? Because Aaron Rodgers, and this is part of why I really like him. And I know he's done nothing for my team yet. Mm-hmm. I admit that. What has he done?
He's changed the feel of the team.
Sure.
And externally and internally. Because they're all in. Everybody there is all in.
That's right, except for Hassan Reddick, who has still not shown up.
Yeah, but he's not even their teammate yet.
No, I know. But Aaron Rodgers, what I've liked about him for the year and a half we've gotten to know him, is he comes across like a guy who gets it. I don't know of a lot of athletes who come here actually get it. Sometimes it takes them time. Like Francisco Lindor gets it now.
Yeah.
I don't think he got it at first. When he was giving thumbs down to fans, I don't think he got it.
Of course.
I think Julius
Randle.
He took
it for granted.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Julius is starting to get it now. I give him a lot of credit.
I think it's been a couple years since Julius has gotten it. I think he had a wake up party.
Yeah.
That was for real.
Sometimes you need that.
You absolutely need it. New Yorkers are not taking it.
Aaron Rodgers has gotten it from the moment he's gotten here. So he made a comment earlier today. Listen to this audio, it's very quick. And I think he perfectly understands the way we as fans and many in the media will overreact to everything we see to start the year.
We win, the headline's going to be, you know, we're going to the Super Bowl. We lose, same old Jets. So.
He's right. Yeah. Same old Jets. Tuesday morning.
Yeah, he understands.
He knows.
Well, I mean, it's also, even though he doesn't project this, he understands the pressure that's on him, you know, and this Jets team. Because if the fans aren't just going to say, oh, well, Aaron Rodgers is here. He's got four MVPs and a Super Bowl title. He's a Hall of Famer. He's fantastic. We forgive them for a bad loss. Mm. It's going to be, you're here now. The expectation is greater than it's ever been, ever maybe in the history of the Jets.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
And he gets that.
Yes. Oh, no, he does. And I think you're right. You're right about what you said. Highest expectations in the history of the Jets. I don't think that's a crazy statement to make at all. Let's go to Sam in Pompton Lake. What's up, Sam?
Hey, hey, Evan, hey, Keith. Nice talking to you. You got to hate the Chiefs. I tell you what, they're the darlings of the NFL. Every call seems to go their way. I get it. You got to respect them because they're good. But it's just, everything just seems to go their way. They need to be knocked out of peg.
I know. That has started to happen. Like, you are right about that. It is starting to feel like, and there are specific calls I could even cite right now that jump out at you where you're like, oh, God, it went your way. Yeah. I think back to the Super Bowl against the Eagles. You know?
Yeah.
I know that it was a defensive hold on James Bradbury, but do they always necessarily call that?
No.
No.
Sometimes you get away with it, given the circumstance of the moment.
Yeah. Obviously, what happened to the Jets last year when they played Kansas City. But I think that while they do need to get knocked down, the question is, who do you want to see him knock him down?
Mm-hmm.
Like, as a New York Jet fan and as a New Yorker, and you tell me as Giant fans, because maybe you don't feel the same way, I don't want to see the Buffalo Bills do that. Like, would you? I know you don't really have much of a care to them, but do you want to see the Buffalo Bills be the team that finally knocks off Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs?
I mean, if it's not the Jets, is that what you're asking?
Oh, so you prefer the Jets, obviously.
Of course. Prefer the Jets, but if it's not the Jets, I kind of want it to be the Ravens.
Ravens?
Yes.
Now you like Lamar.
I just love Lamar.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
And I like John Harbaugh, too. I mean, I think he's a long-tenured, consistent as hell head coach.
Great head coach. Isn't it annoying if it's anybody but the Jets?
Yes.
Why do I want anybody knocking off the Chiefs?
I don't.
The
Jets? Well, I said anyone but the Jets.
Right.
But obviously you want it to be the Jets.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
Because it's huge for New York.
To me, if I'm going into this season as a Jet fan with expectations, if it's not me, it better be the Chiefs, because that means somebody else climbed the mountain that I want to pick.
Exactly.
Yeah, but those other teams are so much closer. I think because...
Excuse me? Well, excuse me? You want to fight?
No, I think...
Who's so much closer than the Jets right now?
Hold on. I'm talking about roster building. I'm talking about, like, experience.
Oh, God.
I'm talking about being there, having had those moments against the Chiefs where it's just like, no matter what we
do... How much experience did the Bengals have when they knocked them off?
None. But the Chiefs had a terrible offensive line and receiving corps.
Okay.
And then they fixed it.
Okay.
And guess what? They won next year. Actually, they won the next two in a row.
I know, but Sean said the same thing last year about, well, you need the experience. You need to get knocked off. You need to kind of
But the Cincinnati Bengals didn't have a shot the next year because the quarterback got hurt.
I know, but they beat them in a year in which they didn't have any of the experience.
But ultimately, the Bengals didn't win the Super Bowl either.
Of course they didn't.
I know, but they beat the Chiefs and they came back on them in the second half on the road.
They won the Super Bowl the week before. That was the problem.
That
happens.
That does happen. Like I said, it happened to the Jets. It does happen. I think that would happen to Buffalo, too, by the way. If the Bills ever knocked off the Kansas City Chiefs, whether it's in the divisional round or the championship game.
Not to discount the Los Angeles Rams and how good they were, by the way. Just saying.
Yeah, no, I get you. I think the Bills would have that issue. Like, they've conquered their kind of beast, and what happens next? Let's go to James in the Bronx. Hey, James.
Hey, how you doing? I've been listening to the show for a long time, first time caller. I want to rant about how much I hate the Chiefs.
Let's hear it.
Like the last caller said, they got every call, man. They get every call. I was in the stadium last year.
Yeah.
You get in the stadium, they travel well. Mahomes gets on his back, and he's looking at the ref every single time about not getting the call.
And then
you're walking out of MetLife last year, and all the Chiefs fans are walking out of there after you know the Jets should have won. We all know. We all watched that terrible call. I'm tired of them. I hate them more than I hated the Patriots. I've been a Jets fan since I was a kid.
How old are you, James?
I'm 24 years old.
That's why.
The Patriots ruined my childhood, and I don't think they were this unlikable.
I mean, I don't think he's too young. The Patriots ruined his childhood. I mean, the Patriots ruined your childhood? Yeah, you hate the Kansas City Chiefs more? They haven't really done anything to us yet. They yeah, they won a Sunday night game in which the officials helped them out. Sure. Right. That's the only thing they've done.
Not for nothing. The Patriots ruined your childhood. Did your parents ever stop an ice cream truck? I mean, my God.
Nah, come on. Don't dismiss that.
I'm having trouble understanding that one, to be honest with you.
Why? The Patriots ruining his childhood?
No. Why he hates the Kansas City Chiefs so much.
Yeah, I don't understand that one. I do have a problem with Sean.
Unless he's morphing them together. So the hatred of the Patriots just turned into the hatred for the other dynastic team that came right after them.
Well,
let's not forget, they bled over.
Yeah, it could be a couple of things. It could be recency bias of Kansas City, uh-huh. but it also could be the latter half of the Patriots dynasty. The Jets simply suck.
Yeah. Same old Jets.
I almost feel like I wish we would have held on to him so I could have asked him a question.
I apologize. I was too quick on the trigger. Right. That's on me.
And the question would have been...
What's the question?
The Patriots ruined his childhood.
Yeah.
And then Tom Brady leaves while the Chiefs are about to become dynastic mm-hmm. and beats them as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
Right.
And then they come right back and start winning.
Right.
So
what's the question?
I'm just trying to understand the bridge. Like, how do you bridge from hating the Patriots into hating the Kansas City Chiefs off of basically one game that meant anything?
Well, I'll tell you,
game was last year with Zach Wilson as your quarterback.
I'll tell you, at least as a kid, so growing up at Lawrence High School, that's where I went to high school, mm-hmm. was in the late 90s, early 2000s. And before that, I was in middle school. What I'll never forget about middle school, as much as I hated it, is that I really think I was the only Jet fan at my middle school. Now, I'm from Long Island. I'm literally from Long Island.
How is that possible?
I'll tell you how it was possible. Everyone either rooted for two football teams.
Cowboys? Okay?
The New York Giants and the Dallas Cowboys. Right. And it was overwhelming. I'd even argue there were more Cowboy fans in my school than there were Giant fans. And like I said, there were basically no Jet fans. Imagine the
same
time
as
period.
My town. Mm.
You the same way for you?
Yeah, one of the biggest misnomers out there is that Long Island is like overwhelmingly Jet fans.
Well, but you got to remember, and I think we're similar in age.
Chris Hofstra.
I'm just talking about the time period. In that time period of the mid-90s, late 90s was high school. It started to change a little bit. In the mid-90s, middle school? The Jets were the freaking worst.
Yeah, true.
The Cowboys were dynastic, and the Giants were, fine. So I think what happens when you're young is that you gravitate towards the teams that are, competent or good. And the Jets were so incompetent.
Same old Jets.
That they basically had no fans. So my point to you, I apologize because I do want to get to said point, was I hated the Cowboys. And I didn't have a history with them. What the hell did the Jets and the Cowboys have to do with each other? And I hated them because they were so obnoxious. Their fans were the worst. They were everywhere. They were loud. How about them Cowboys?
Yeah.
You talked about it earlier with God looking down. Like, I couldn't stand them as a kid.
I was on the train this morning coming into the city. And the guy is just a Cowboy fan.
Ugh.
I see him all the time, so he always gives me the same shtick.
What's his shtick towards you, by the way?
It's just like... talking about, how about them Cowboys? He's walking down the aisle, and I hear him talking. And I'm like, stop. Stop it. Stop it. I don't want to hear it. You got disgruntled employees over there. You don't want to pay anybody. Jerry Jones is not getting it done. I'm just giving him the business.
Oh, I got it.
And then he stops. He's taking my ticket. And I'm like, I'm going to the game on Thursday, whatever week, the third week for the NFL season. If they win, I am riding the train into the city. If the Giants win, I am riding in, and I'm seeking you out.
So you just hit on the answer. Fans is what makes us hate teams.
Yeah,
obnoxious fans is what brings us there.
He's awesome though, so I don't hate him. He's a jovial Cowboy fan.
So if the Kansas City Chiefs fan base continues to grow, and it is growing, like I've seen it, like there's just more Chiefs fans now, it will add to our hatred. That's why the Cowboys are so hated.
You just hit on it. That's exactly why in New York, especially, we hate the Cowboys.
Mm.
And maybe even some extent we hate the Patriots because there's fans of them because they're bandwagoners.
Yeah.
Or they were winning at the time I cared about football. And so I became a fan of that team, even though I live in New York.
Yeah.
And so that's what gets frustrating.
Oh, no doubt about it. By the way, let's take a trip now to Dallas, Texas, where the Yankees just got finished losing 2 out of 3 to another mediocre team, the Texas Rangers.
3 series in a row.
That's right. And we are joined by a guy that was at the Yankee game last night, Caesar down in Dallas. How was that experience, Caesar?
Well, I was at 2 of the last 3 games here, and Monday night was fine. Obviously, we held on to that game, even though Holmes tried to give me a heart attack there at the end of the game like he usually does.
Don't worry. He finished it off the next day.
Which, by the way, you want to talk about Cowboy fans. I'm a Giants fan down here, Tiki, by the way. Love you.
And, thank you, bro.
And it is a miserable experience the last 10 years living in Dallas, being a Giants fan.
I bet.
I'll tell you a quick story. I went to Philly a couple years ago. I wore my Giants hat there. I was there for a week. Not one person said anything to me. I get back to Dallas. I'm in baggage claim. I got three guys hitting me up.
See?
So it's just unbelievable how much they hate New Yorkers here. And nothing gets anything more than a Yankee hat. You wear a Yankee hat around town, you got a bullseye on your head.
Oh, wow. Wow.
But anyway, I was at the game, two of the last three games. And here's kind of, look, I love the Yankees. I would love nothing more for them to win a World Series. But from what I saw, it just is not happening. And it's like, it seems like the Yankees the last decade or so, they fall into, I don't know what it is with them, where they try to fit guys at positions they're not naturally meant for. But, you know, Judge, those two games that I went to, he did not play center field well.
Right.
And it's not just him. Even Soto playing left. I mean, I don't know if you guys could tell yesterday, but, you know, there was a ball that was hit for a double that no business being a double. You know, Soto kind of lackadaisically goes and picks it up, lobs it in, and the ball's still coming in as he's lobbing it in, and then he just stands up and puts his hands off.
I have to ask you
a couple things I want to talk to you
about. But hold on, I have to ask you one very important question. This is fascinating to me. Did you, for last night's game, Yankees lost 10-6, did you stay till the very, very end, or did you leave early?
No, I'm an idiot. I stayed to the end.
No, no, you're not an idiot, and here's why. I don't know how many people stayed and watched until the end, because it's 10-2.
Yeah.
It's late at night. You probably shut the game off. I happen to be up. I was having some issues last night after the Met game, and my kids were up, and I'm watching. It's 10-2. Why not? The Yankees put together something that nobody's talking about that was fascinating. They were down 10-2 with two outs and nobody on, got three straight guys on, Grisham in a grand slam. Okay, whatever. It's 10-6. Put two more guys on. They had the tying run on deck, and Giancarlo just missed a three-run home run. And I'm watching this happen. I'm like, oh, my God. If the Yankees tie this game, no one will see it.
Yeah.
It'll be like a tree falling in the forest. So I admire that you stayed until the bitter end, because that was one of the weirdest ends to a game I could remember.
It totally was. And when he hit it, I thought it was gone. But obviously, he robbed it. But here's the thing with the Yankees, and like I said, the last 10 years, it seems like they've fallen into this hole. They like playing guys out of position. I'm sorry, Judge should be in right, Soto should be in left, and the Martian should be in center field. And I don't know what's going on with the middle infield. Now, Glaber's been playing a lot better yesterday, and he probably saved our bacon Monday night, because that ball gets through. I don't know if we win that game. But Volpe, the last month or so, he is terrible at starting double plays. There are ground balls in the infield that should be double plays, and it happened in that game last night, early in the game. It's like he's got the yips throwing at the second. No, he doesn't know if he wants to backhand it, underhand it.
CZ, you're right. It's almost like he's thinking about it. And the last thing you could do as an athlete who has to react in split seconds is think. You just have to do it.
Yeah.
And it's hard once you start thinking about it, because you're worried about mechanics. And once you start worrying about mechanics, you're thinking about every movement of said mechanic. And then it just takes one little hiccup in your synapse, in your brain, to throw it off a little bit. And then once that happens, you get errors, you get mistakes, you get slowed down of a double play creation, and you end up not getting the guy out at first.
Yeah, as far as the outfield defense, a lot of that is the circumstances of who they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Judge has been forced to play a lot of center field because Juan Soto and Alex Verdugo are not center fielders.
Yeah.
Juan Soto in right field, where he's played, is an average to slightly below average defensive right fielder. That's how I grade him watching him every day. I don't think he's a butcher in right field. I know he's had a tough couple of days. I don't think he's a butcher. I think he's very, very average. But right now, the question the Yankees are going to have to face, and they're going to have to answer this real soon, and it seems, I think Sean made this point the other day, that the Yankees wait for all of us to scream about something, and then a week or two after we're done screaming about it, they actually do it.
Well, we screamed about Clay yesterday, and it happened pretty immediately.
Yeah, but people were screaming about Clay for weeks.
True.
That's not new.
That was just our final threshold.
Sean, it's been since the beginning of the season.
Right. But for most, it was a few weeks. Right now, there's a lot of screaming about Alex Verdugo, especially after last night when he's not running hard and Aaron Boone gives out the excuses.
And Dominguez homers again.
And Jason Dominguez home runs. And you're like, when are they going to do it? I am now completely convinced they're going to do it. Like, Jason Dominguez is going to be called up. Alex Verdugo is going to be moved to the bench. But like everything else the Yankees do, it's going to feel like it's 2 weeks after when they should have done it.
It'll be next week, and you'll get a phantom Verdugo IL because he's beat up, as Boone called it. Uh-huh. It'll be next week because it has to prove that the fans weren't this week.
It's the same thing that happened with Glaber. When Glaber had, what did Glaber have? Groin? Was that last year? Or was it?
No, yeah, groin. Groin.
Was that earlier this year?
Yeah.
And then he's finally sat him down. He's like, yeah, he's got a groin issue.
Okay. And it worked, by the way, because after Glaber got benched, but he's been really good.
Right, but I understand that. But if he's got a groin issue and is not 100%, and you have another option who's not a butcher, why are you making him play hurt? It doesn't make any sense.
No, it's a great question.
And so with Verdugo, if it's the same thing, he's got some physical ailment, why are you forcing him to play hurt? Because you trust the veteran over a guy who's going to come up and still be a rookie, even if he plays the remaining 22 games.
I want everybody to be truthful, because it was after 11 o'clock at night. When the Yankees are down 10-2 in the ninth inning, and
there's no chance I was watching.
You're done. Totally understand.
I mean, I don't stay at games where they're winning.
That's a fair point. Last night, Sean, Lugie, and I were at the Met game. It was, I wouldn't say a long Met game, but it ended close to 10 o'clock. Were you listening or watching the conclusion of the Yankee-Ranger game at 10-2 in the ninth inning?
Yes, I was.
You were locked in on it.
I was. It only took me an inning and a half to get home. I stayed home and watched the rest of it.
So even at 10-2, you're like, you know what? It's baseball. You never know.
It wasn't I ever know. I wanted to stay up to, I think, just continue to curse Boone.
Gotcha. So you weren't there thinking, because that to me was so crazy.
He was also hungry when he got home.
That's true.
Need to make a sandwich or a snack or something.
I actually didn't. I did not eat.
Really?
I did not
really?
Eat.
Really? I did.
Did you really?
My father-in-law kept offering me quesadillas and he made them for me. What was I going to say?
Your father-in-law made you, what are you, 9?
At 11 o'clock?
Not only did he, first of all, my father-in-law is a godsend, because last night, and I'll say this very, very quickly.
Who gets home at 11 o'clock? I was like, hey, you want a
Tiki? Well, I have to walk you through what happened last night.
This is going to be a gold story. Listen to this.
Last night, we were going to the game, and my father-in-law, who had visited some relatives, was flying back from California.
Okay.
And he was landing at about 8 o'clock at LaGuardia Airport. So we came up with this great idea. When he landed from LaGuardia, he was going to take a taxi or an Uber to Citi Field. My car would be left open. He would drop his bags in my car and then come up to the seat, watch the last few innings. Great idea. What's wrong with that idea?
That actually is a great idea.
Thank you. So, flight's on time. He gets out, goes to a taxi. The taxi drivers, and let this be a message to New York City taxi drivers, were all a bunch of douches to my father-in-law. Mm. They started saying, A, we're not going there, and B, it's going to be $90.
Going to Citi Field.
Yeah, we're not going there. A few taxis said, we will not go there.
Even though it's literally 4 miles away.
That's correct. A few different taxi drivers refused service.
Wow.
The next taxi driver said $90. To which my father-in-law was like, $90? It's a few miles away. Finally, a taxi driver negotiated it down to $40, which I still think is crazy, by the way.
$40?
To make matters worse, he dropped them off on the other side of the highway and said, sorry, I can't take you to that parking lot. You got to give me an address. My father-in-law's like, I don't know the address. I just know it's that parking lot.
Wow.
Made him walk across the highway to then look for my car, which my poor father-in-law couldn't find. But these taxi drivers, like, what was that about?
Is that
a thing now?
This is why people don't take taxis anymore.
Clearly.
I'm serious.
Said to him after, you got an Uber, because it was mean.
Yes.
It was price gouging. Right. It was douchey. I mean, he could have died trying to cross that highway.
That's why people don't take taxis anymore.
Well, guess what? We're going to join him.
And Tiki, they were mean. His father-in-law got to that car in the bottom of the sixth inning, sat in that car and waited for Evan to leave at the ninth. Did he get up out of the seat and say, you know what? My father-in-law's had a long enough day. Let me get him home. No, he did not.
No.
No.
Wow.
I left Citi Field.
Well, why didn't he come in?
Well, okay, so let's go through that.
And he had a ticket.
After that ordeal, he was very tired and said, you know what? I'm done.
Dude, you know
I'm going to sit down and chill in the car. I offered to leave. I offered it. I said, if you want me to leave, we'll go. And I was told, he's fine in the car. Watch the rest of the game.
Does he partake in some libations at times?
Excuse me?
Does he drink?
Yeah, a little bit casual.
Okay, so after that, I think I would have wanted a drink.
I understand. He wanted to hang out in an empty car.
He sat in an empty car for an hour and a half so Evan could finish scoring Mets Red Sox.
Don't frame it that way.
That's what happened.
I offered to leave. You saw me offer it. I called my wife and said, do you want me to leave? And she's like, you know what? He's happy in the car. Relax.
So let's frame it this way. The guy flew across the country. He walked across the Whitestone Bridge. He sat in Evan's car for an hour and a half. And then when you guys got home, he cooked you food. Yes. Are you out of your mind? Yes. Cook this poor man some food.
He came from California.
Oh, my Lord.
With a connection in Denver.
Oh, that's miserable. So that is a miserable flight.
On the car ride home, we were having a great conversation about California, about the Heat, about the Mets, about the Yankees. And he says, I'm hungry. Are you hungry? I said, I can eat. And he says, I'm going to make some quesadillas.
Unbelievable.
I said, I'd love some quesadillas. I love the man. He's a great human being.
Yes, he is. And he also happens to be a chef.
He also happens to be a chef. And here's the real reason why he didn't come up to the seat. You guys want to know the real reason?
Mm. Sure. Because Tommy and Sean were there?
He knew Tiki wasn't there.
Oh.
He's a big Giant fan. Oh. Big Tiki guy.
Yeah.
And once I told him, hey, look, Tiki's not here right now. And by the way, even if you came to the game, you would have been gone by that point. He's like, yeah, not worth it. I don't need to see those two guys.
Wow.
So you want to attack me? Fine. We'll attack you back. Here you go. When we come back, the great John Sterling. There have been some rumors floating around about the great John Sterling. Let's find out what the rumors are and if they're true. We hear from the great John Sterling in just a few minutes, and we'll get back to your phone calls, a lot of baseball, football to mix in as well.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.